Good morning.
Good morning, Wednesday.
It's nice to see all of you here in spite of the not great conditions for traveling outside. Sometime between last Sunday and this Sunday, I think it might have been one of the Mountain Record journals that comes out, I think, four times a year. And in that journal, there was a picture of, I guess it was a teacher. The picture would have been taken from behind the altar of the teacher doing a full bow to the Buddha on the altar. It was in black and white, and it was really, really beautiful. I don't know how a still picture can do this, but I experienced an incredible amount of grace in doing this bow. And I also experienced this silence that was taking place while the bow was done. So that inspired me to talk a little bit. This is just the tip of the iceberg, but a little bit about the act of bowing. So as I said, this act of bowing is a beautiful expression of our practice. And its beauty is revealed when the bow is performed precisely and selflessly. And when it's done this way, I think it's transformed into an art form, just like ballet. At the Zendo and at retreats, the day begins and ends with three bows. Here we do one bow, but usually at retreats, we do three bows in the beginning and one bow at the end. But at retreats, it's three bows in the beginning and three bows at the end. And when these bows are performed in silence and with devotion, the Dharma comes alive. It comes alive in just that simple act of bowing. Dogen said, as long as there is true bowing, the Buddha way will not deteriorate. Historically, this is sort of the history of bowing. You read these books about the history of Zen and, you know, Buddha and all of that. It's really not known how much of that is real, is fact, and how much of it is myth. But having offered that caveat, I will share with you the story of Buddha's enlightenment. And that story goes as follows. Buddha had five friends, five fellow monks, who had become dismayed with their friend Gautama, believing that he had gone astray. Because Gautama gave up his customary practices, the practices that took place at the Zen temple. And he gave up also the rituals that were routinely practiced. In fact, he seemed to have stopped all of his spiritual practices. He even began drinking milk and bathing. Now, each of those were forbidden. His friends could not understand why he just sat quietly, doing nothing of value. And they felt that he was no longer one of them. So as time passed, eventually Gautama had a profound insight when seeing the morning star. And the morning star, of course, is Venus. And not long after his insight, Gautama approached his friends. And as the story goes, the monks were so stricken by the transformation of their former friend, his serenity and the radiance of his personality, that they spontaneously put their palms together and greeted him with a deep bow. So there are two types of bows that we do in our practice, but before I discuss them, I think it's important to understand that bowing as it's practiced in Zen Buddhism is not the same as in other forms of Buddhism. You know, a lot of times people who are unfamiliar with Buddhism lump it all together. And as it turns out, I forget what it is, but it's something like 20% of the Buddhists in the world actually meditate. Whereas most people think of Buddhism as based around the practice of meditation. So outside of Zen, bowing takes place, but it's a different kind of bowing. It's a bowing that's grounded in worship, worshiping the Buddha. And there's a separation that's implied in that, you know, because it's me and the Buddha. So when I'm doing it in that way, I'm elevating the Buddha, metaphorically and literally. You know, if I'm bowing down and the Buddha's up here on the altar, in other forms of Buddhism, that represents the fact that the Buddha is really up here and I'm down here. And also the relationship between the practitioner of Buddhism and the Buddha is that they go to the Buddha and petition the Buddha for help, for guidance. Now, you know from practicing this practice, our relationship to bowing is very different. So our practice, Zen Buddhism, is not the same as other forms of Buddhism. In Zen, the act of bowing brings a unity to the diversity that exists in the world. It represents an acknowledgement that the person bowing and the Dharma, the teachings, are one. There is no self and no other. There's just. So on a more practical level, in a sense, there are two types of bowing. There's the full bow and the gassho. Before I have focused on each one of these, though, I'd like to say a few more words about the relationship between the bow itself and the one who is bowing. If the bow is done in the spirit of practice, the one who bows and the bow itself disappear. This can only happen if we pay complete attention to each moment of the bowing as it is being performed. Now, this doesn't just apply to the person, to the one who is bowing, but it applies to everyone who's present. We all become one with that act of bowing. The full bow is a more formal bow than the gassho. The full bow is used when opening and closing a day of meditation, as I've already said. And you've seen this yourself many times, particularly when we do our one-day retreats. And the bow usually is done three times, and it follows the lighting of the incense. So the first bow is for the Buddha, and the Buddha represents the oneness of all things. Right? The Buddha is not separate from us. He's not elevated. When we bow, we actually express that sense of oneness. The second bow is for the Dharma, the teachings which come from the Buddha. And the third bow is for the Sangha, all of us who are companions on the path. Now, the following story that I'm going to read is taken from Zen Practice 2 by Taizen Meizumi and Tetsugin Glassman. This lineage that we're in, the White Plum lineage, was started, for people who don't know this, was started by Taizen Meizumi Roshi. And Tetsugin Glassman, who's also a Roshi now and famous for social action practice, they collaborated to write this book about Zen Practice 2. And so this is the story. Master Obaku, a Rinzai Zen master, was famous for his frequent admonition of his students, "Don't expect anything from your practice. Don't expect anything from your practice." And time after time he was heard saying this. And one day, however, Master Obaku was challenged about this practice. And the questioner said, "You always tell your students not to expect anything from their practice, and yet you have been making deep bows." In fact, Obaku had been bowing so frequently and for so long that a large callus had formed on his forehead at the point where his head touched the hard floor. When he was asked, "What do you expect to get from this bowing?" he said, "I don't expect, I just bow." So the gassho or gassho is a less formal bow. And in the gassho, most of you are familiar with this, we put our hands together. And the putting our hands together, the two become one, which is the heart of this practice. Now, even though the gassho is an informal bow, when we bow to another person, we are not only bowing to that person, but we are also bowing to the intimacy that exists between us and the other person. So it's not me and the other person, and we're bowing to each other, which is also true on one level. But the deeper meaning of this bow is we're bowing to that fundamental connection between us, that intimate connection, which is beyond words. Now, the gassho is used in a variety of ways. Again, most of you are familiar with them. It's, as I said, used to bowing to another person. It's used upon entering the zendo. It's used taking one's seat. leaving and entering Kinhin line, and also bowing to the teacher. Now, the gassho is also used if you cross the path of the altar. So, if, for example, you come in and you sit over there, there's no crossing the path, so there's no bowing. But if you come down this aisle to sit here, you would turn around and do a brief gassho. And the hands are placed just parallel with the tip of the nose. So to sum up, bowing is not just a ritual that we use in our practice. Just like Zazen, bowing is the practice itself. And it's a beautiful and profound act, which is appreciated most if done unself-consciously and wholeheartedly. So the bow is not something separate, some other thing that we do besides Zazen. It's really Zazen itself. It's the heart. It's another act of paying attention, full attention. Please be open to the beauty of bowing. It's really a very beautiful act. Thank you.